Lord, we thank you for the ability to sow seed tonight. And as you said, Lord, remember the orphans. Lord, you're the one who said in the book of James, remember the orphans and the widows. And so, Lord, that's what we do. That's what we're doing. We're remembering the orphans. And so we ask you to bless this offering tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless your people for giving. Multiply it back to them on every side in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, ushers, if you guys are ready. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you. Could I just get a couple guys? Could a couple of you guys in the back? Brad, maybe you could help me as well. You guys just drag this thing over. That'll be great. I don't know how long I'll need it, but thank you guys. Appreciate that. I pray you got something out of last night with renewing the mind. Come on, right? And change your thinking. Everyone say, stinking thinking. That's what this is about if you weren't here last night. I think they got the messages out in the hallway, so you can always get that if you're interested. And so, all right. So tonight, if you got your Bibles, go to the book of Matthew, let's start in the 28th chapter and see where we go from there. I know we're going to end up in the 25th. So, all right. So Matthew, let's start in the 28th chapter first. So in Matthew 28, verse 16, and the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. That's verse 16. Verse 17 says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Right? Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority or all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And so here, several different things are going on here. These are some of the last words of Jesus. These are not the last words of Jesus, but these are some of them. And so he's starting to encapsulate what our purpose is. Now, unfortunately, in the modern day church, we have, like I said on Wednesday or Tuesday, we've become, just by osmosis, I don't know why, but we've become more spectatoring. We've become more of a spectatorship than a participant. Come on, right? And so it's easy to get into spectator mode. And so it's very, very simple and very, very easy for all of us in this room to get in spectator mode. It's easy for us ministers to say, listen, it's just easier for me to do it than to train someone else or to get someone else to do it. And so, but if you could put that verse back up there, but put up verse number 19. So in verse 19, he brings up something and he says, therefore, he says, go therefore. So in other words, number one, he tells us to go. So tonight, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the comfort zone. Brad, you confirmed it. God was speaking to me about it. Brad confirmed it. And so, so he starts off and he says this. Jesus gives these words, which are not very comfort zone words. And the words that Jesus gives are, number one, go, right? So number one, he says, go therefore. He doesn't say sit therefore and take notes about it. Come on. But he says, no, you have to go therefore. In other words, there's an implementation where the Holy Spirit is saying to every single one of us to go, not just to the pastor to go, not just to the evangelist to go, not just to the missionary to go. Come on. We don't send money just for someone else to go. We have to all go. Come on, elbow your neighbor. Say, I hope you're hearing this. All right. So he says, go therefore. And then he says this. He says, make disciples. He doesn't say get converts. He doesn't say get people to pray a prayer. He says, no, disciples. Disciples are followers. I said this last year, but I'll say it again. The word disciple is mentioned in your Bible more than 200 times. The word Christian is only mentioned twice. In fact, no believer ever called another believer in the Bible a Christian ever one time. They never, if we lived in the book of Acts right now, I would never call Pastor Rick a Christian ever. It was always a negative connotation. You look it up. They were always called disciples and believers. So he says, listen, go make disciples. Now the word disciples actually means followers. Followers doesn't mean someone who prayed a prayer. Someone means a disciple is somebody who is being trained, come on, to follow somebody else. Right? So he says this, he says, listen, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just your nation, but even get out of your own nation. Right? Come out of your comfort zone. That's why we bless you with the ebook. On the first day, I said, go ahead, put your email on here and we'll bless you with an ebook. But also once a year, we do international outreaches and missions, and we take people with us for a one-week mission. How many of you would like to go with us on a mission trip? Anyone? So last year we did Jamaica. How many of you love to suffer for Jesus in Jamaica? Huh? I mean, well, okay, we're not in the beach all day or anything like that doing that kind of ministry. You know, but we do take one day off, but the majority of the time is all ministry. And so I think the year before that was Puerto Rico. How about Puerto Rico? Anyone in January, how many of you love to go to Puerto Rico? Right. So, but we have taken teams with us to Uganda and to Tanzania and in all Mexico and other places as well. So we love to do that. Why? Because Jesus said, go. And then he says, make disciples of all nations. Then he says, what else should I do? Really, to make them a disciple, you have to baptize. So the very first thing of obedience, this is all about obedience right here. The first step of obedience is getting baptized. So if you're not water baptized, you need to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism, because it's an obedience thing. To be a disciple, you have to follow Jesus. The first thing he says is you need to be water baptized. Yeah, but I was baptized as a baby. Yeah, but Jesus never taught that. Your church taught that. Jesus taught full immersion as a person who has accepted Christ. Come on, right? That's how they did it in the Bible. They never came up with this water baptism until about 600 years ago. 600 years ago, it was a new thing they made up in the Catholic Church at that time. It was never done before that. I'm just being honest. Isn't that right? Isn't that about right? About 600-700 years ago, something like that. And so, go therefore, make disciples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Then he says, teach, this one here. This is a hard one for many Americans. Look at this first verse there. Look at that. Teaching them to observe. Now that's not strong enough. You look it up in the actual Greek. It means teach them. Are you ready? To obey. That's the literal translation. Teach them to obey. Now that's not very seeker sensitive of Jesus Christ, but that was one of the first things that he taught them. Teach them to obey. He said, go make disciples, baptize them. So get them to be obedient right from the beginning and then continuously teach them to obey. Now, I talked about this on Sunday about this aggressive evangelism and discipleship called T for T. And that's the first thing they teach them, is about really to be a follower of Jesus is obedience. Come on, right? Now, we're used to rebelling. I'm an American to the bone, okay? But our country was formed on rebellion to England. Come on, somebody. Okay, let me just go even farther. I'm not a Catholic, okay? So I'm a Protestant, but guess what that means? Protest. It means we rebelled against the Catholic Church. So what do we have in the Protestant Church in America today? We have a lot of rebellious people. Why? Because no, every church is terrified of these words right here. They're terrified. Because if they want nickels and noses, they may not do that by this. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because a lot of people don't want to be told to obey. I follow God my own way, Pastor Rick. No, you don't. According to the Bible says that you have to be taught to obey. And sometimes that means a rebuke. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, right? I mean, that's why the Bible says rebuke and exhort. It talks about reprove, rebuke, and exhort, Paul told Timothy. So two-thirds of preaching should be reprove and rebuking. Only a third should be exhorting. Come on, amen? Unfortunately, we have 90% of exhortation now and 10% of correction. You read the New Testament, this book right here. If you read the New Testament letters that Paul wrote, most of the letters are rebuke. Right? I mean, the book of James, the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, well, not the book of Ephesians so much, but you look at Galatians, he calls them stupid. You look at it in chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, you silly, stupid Galatians. Who put a curse on you? You look at it. It's right there in Galatians chapter 3. So he rebuked them. Come on. Why? Because we grow. Listen, you don't go into the military and say, I'm going to be in the military, but I'm doing it my way. Come on. We have anyone in here that was in the military? Raise your hand. Okay. Is that true? You don't do it your way, do you, brother? This is no McDonald's. You're not doing it your way. We're not going to make it your way. It's going to be the military's way, right? Is that true? Right? Absolutely, it's true, right? And so, guess what? We're in the army of the Lord. So, that means that God has got to correct us. And so, the way that he does that is often by getting us out of the comfort zone. Now, here is the comfort zone right here. All right. Here's your comfort zone. And many people, they spend their whole lives trying to stay in that comfort zone. Come on, right? When they pray, where they go to church, how they live, how they tithe, how they evangelize. Everything has got to be in my comfort because God doesn't want me uncomfortable. That's what they think. And so they'll go to a church that'll tell them it's all about you. You know, come on, right? And so why do they do? So everything that they do is along that line. So look here. Go over to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25. Now, let me just say this about evangelism, because we've done a lot of evangelism here in the last couple of days and going out and sharing Christ. And for some of you, it was a real stretch. It was real nerve-wracking, right? And it's easy to stay in this comfort zone. It's easy to stay in here, you know? It's easy to just stay in your comfort zone and say, I'm not comfortable coming out of there. I'd rather stay in there. And that's what the disciples did. When Jesus went by them walking on the water, 11 of them stayed in the boat. One guy stepped out of the boat, and so everyone made fun of him for sinking. Come on, right? While the other 11 knuckleheads were just as wet as Peter was, but they sat in the boat, Peter at least got out and walked on water. They were all wet because it was raining, so they were all soaking wet, so it didn't make any difference. Get in the boat, get out of the boat, what difference does it make? Because you're already soaking wet anyway, so... But at least Peter walked on the water, even if it was just for a little ways. And so there was something about learning to get out of the comfort zone. And the one thing that the Lord has shown me over the years is, even regarding evangelism, is there's something about coming out of your comfort zone and being willing to do something totally ridiculous at the oddest of times. You know, I've talked to some people and they're like, can't we wait till everybody goes except for this one person, then I'll talk to them about Jesus? And it's like, God doesn't do it like that. He wants to get you out of your comfort zone. And you know, and that's why the Lord loves to, in the scriptures, that's why the Lord loves to use God's power to minister to people, because it ministers to them. Years ago, I used to be a pastor out in California. In 1991, I was a pastor out there. And so as I was a pastor, our pastor was just about to retire. And so one day he said to me, he said, Tom, I want to take you out on my houseboat and we're going to go fishing. And so we went and we drove way up into the mountains there of California. So it took about 2 hours to get there. So we get there and we get on the houseboat. And I said, gee, it's late at night already by the time we get here. I said, it's already 9 o'clock. He said, well, yeah, we won't fish now. He said, we're going to fish at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, what? He said, yes. He said, that's when the fish will be biting. But that wasn't very much in my comfort zone. How many of you know 2 o'clock in the morning doesn't sound too fun? So what they did was we went and we pushed the houseboat out, and we were in the delta there outside of San Francisco. And so it was in the delta. And so we went out into this like bay, this delta area of this water, and he took these high-powered lights, and I don't know what you'd use them for, I guess in a barn or something like that. I don't know what you'd use them for, but he took them and he flipped them over and he pointed them straight at the water. And so he would just generate this high-powered light on the water. And he goes, okay, well, let's go to bed. I said, now we're going to sleep now? And I said, hey, man, it's, you know, 10 o'clock. He goes, yeah. He goes, we'll get up in 4 hours and we're going to catch more fish than you've ever caught in your life. I'm like, you're crazy. So at 2 o'clock, we get up in the morning. I mean, here I am. I'm tired. He shake me, you know, and he had his grandson with him. And he's like, come on, guys, get up. He goes, let's go fishing. I'm like, oh man, I'm like dead asleep here, you know? So we get up, I get my fishing rod out, and we go over, and so I'm sitting by the edge, and I said, okay, Pastor Holton, I said, you know, where's the lure? He goes, you won't need lure now. He said, the chad are jumping. So the chad is like these little fish that jump and they chase the light, see? So he said, the fish are going to come. He said, you just take your hook and you throw it in the water and they're going to bite anything that's in the water anyways. So it doesn't matter what you do. So we took that hook and we threw our hooks in the water. And I'm not kidding you. For 30 minutes, my shoulder was so sore from hauling in fish. I hauled in about 30 fish in 30 minutes. He goes, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. So I'm getting it in and we'd throw it in this giant container. He'd go, quick, throw it back in. And so I'd be like, all right, I threw it, wham, and it would hit it again. And all of a sudden, just one after another, pull it out, threw it in the bucket. In 30 minutes, it went on like that and it was over. By 2:45 in the morning, we were done fishing. We went home. I'm not kidding you. We had so much fish. We had, not tuna, but we had, salmon. We had trout, all kinds of striper, all kinds of different fish. And everything was coming to that light. You know what? Taught me a couple of different things. Number one is that it taught me that if I was willing to come out of my comfort zone, I'd be blessed. Come on, somebody, right? It taught me something about coming out of the comfort zone. That's where you'll find blessing. But the second thing it taught me was this, is that the fish go to the light. Come on, right? So the fish go to God's power, to God's presence. That's what we've been talking about all week, is bringing divine healing to the lost. Why? Because it brings God's presence. And as we bring God's presence, the lost, we can just throw out the hook. Phew, wow, they already bit it. Reel them in, right? Isn't that true? And so, because divine healing, it becomes almost like a dinner bell to the lost. It calls them in. It's like that light on the water for 45 minutes. I mean, here we went home the next day, we felt like, you know, the world's greatest fishermen, you know, here, I mean, the three of us together weren't smart enough to, you know, light a candle hardly, but I mean, here, you know, 45 minutes, we look like champions, you know, and here we came back with so many fish. I mean, anybody with half sense in one eye could have caught fish out there. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, we were just hauling in so many fish. So, but coming out of your comfort zone. And so look here in, you know what? I'll do it. Verse 14. For the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country who has his own servants, delivered him goods, and he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he had received 2 talents also more. But he who had received 1 also dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents, came and bought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you've delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 talents more besides them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he that received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. I was afraid, and therefore I hid your talent in the ground. Look there, what you have is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Boy, that's not too politically correct. For to him who has, more will be given. To him he will have an abundance. And from him who does not have, even what he has, come on, what does it say? Will be taken away, right? So here begins to say, listen, even what he has will be taken away. And so here the whole thing was about talents. All 3 of them were given talents. Now, that's a word that we shouldn't use, because we use that word to mean abilities. But it meant money. It should have said like this, because in modern day age, this is how it would read. It should have said, to one he gave $5,000, to another he gave 2. He's a financial planner, this brother right here, okay? So he'll know what I'm talking about. To one he gave $5,000, to another he gave $2,000, to another he gave $1,000. And he said, do something with what you have. Everyone say, do something. Just like the video, right? He said, listen, do something with what you have. Don't bury it. And at the end, the Lord was so displeased with the one who buried it. I think so many people, when they get to heaven, they're going to be so sad in such a glorious place because they did nothing with what they've been given. Come on, somebody, right? And so, but even to those who've been given less, just to give to God what they have is so much more. I'm telling you, brother and sister, that heaven's going to be full of people who have taken risks. See, outside of the comfort zone, out here is where there is risk. Come on. This is where risk takes place. There's no risk in here. The risk is all out here. But also out here is where you have blessing. Out here is where you have healing. Out here is where you have prosperity. Right? Out here is where you have revival. Come on, right? Everything is outside the comfort zone. Nothing good happens in here. All that you feel is safe, when actually, according to Matthew chapter 25, you're actually not safe. Because you're not learning the lesson of the kingdom, and the lesson of the kingdom is to do something with what you've been given. Do something with what's in your hand. You may say, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. You don't have to be. But you have to do something with what you've got. Come on, somebody. Amen. Do something with what you've got. Reach out with something that you've got in your hand. And in so doing, that's where you have miracles. That's where you have signs and wonders and all of that stuff. Come on, right? So that's where all those things take place. Now, I'm trying to find a scripture here. Let me see if I can find it. I grabbed a different Bible. I know it's here. Lord, help me. I should have grabbed my other one. I just switched my Bible back. I was just telling Pastor before service, I just grabbed my Bible back. Pastor Rick, maybe you can help me find that scripture. Remember when Jesus was talking in John? I know it's in John. It's early in John. And he's talking to the disciples. The disciple says, is he mad because we didn't bring any bread? If you could find that for me about bread, look up for the bread. Okay. So, but here's the thing. Out here is where we see, look here. Here's where we see evangelism. Out here is where we see miracles. Out here is where we see the joy of the Lord. Come on, right? Out here is where we see those things. Out here is where we see the Holy Spirit as you step out of your comfort zone. So many people are so close to God, but they're just not willing to take that one step of faith. Your first step of faith, watch this, is when the person that led you to Christ said, just step out in faith, just walk down there and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Man, oh man, it looked like 100 miles from the back of the church to the front, didn't it? I mean, it might as well have been 1,000 miles. I mean, it just seemed like just how in the world can I walk that amount? It just seemed insurmountable. But the kingdom works this way. And as soon as you stepped out of your comfort zone, the miracle of salvation was right there. Eternal life was right there at hand. Come on, right? And the same thing is true with all these other things that God wants to do in your life, how he wants to multiply you and bless you and stretch you out. And so that's why I love teaching, even on the offering. I love doing that because I love stretching people's faith in that area. We were ministering in a church. You'll laugh, brother. We were in Mankato, your old stomping grounds, Mankato, Minnesota, the home of Laura Ingalls Wilder. How about that, Neela, right? Some of you know her. And so we were ministering there. And we had a little revival there, breakout in 2000. And God was just really moving. And so while we were ministering there, I was sharing on the offering. And I just started to say to the people this. I said, some of you are thinking very selfishly with your finances. God wants to bless you, not just so you'll be blessed, but so that you can bless somebody else. So that you can pay for somebody else's mortgage. So that you can bless someone else with a car. So that you can bless somebody else with a job. Or come on, somebody, whatever it might be. You understand? So as I was in this church, and as I was sharing that, it was on a Sunday night. A man in the back of the church was sitting there, and the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to do something radical, and I want you to buy another hardware store. He owned a hardware store there in Mankato. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to buy another hardware store. And he said, well, Lord, you know, I really don't want to do that. I'll come back to that scripture. Thank you, brother. And so he said, Lord, I really don't want to do that. And so the Lord said, I want you to buy another hardware store. And so here I'm teaching the word and he's in an argument in his mind. He's like, God, I'm going to retire next year. I don't want to start another hardware store. Are you crazy? And so he's in this war in his mind. So finally, by the end of the service, he says, okay, Lord, okay, I'll do it. So at the end of the service, he told his wife what God spoke to him during the service. So he went out and started looking. He looked in the paper. He looked on the internet. He was looking everywhere. And he found a hardware store on another part of town that was failing. And he could buy it for pennies on the dollar. So he bought the thing, and literally he bought it in 2 months, turned a profit, and he made hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know? So he was feeling like, you know, God's man of faith and power, you know, like I obeyed the Lord and look how God blessed me. And so he said, Tom, so 6 months later, I'm in a service and I'm worshiping the Lord. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. How many of you ever prayed that crazy prayer? Anybody? And he said, as I got my hands up, I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. He said, the Holy Spirit said, will you? He goes, I think I will. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go buy another hardware store. He goes, I'm not doing that. I'm batting 1,000 now with 2, and I'm not doing that again. And so the Lord just kept on him and kept on him, kept on him. And so he said, okay, I'll do it on one condition, that you show me exactly where it is. So he had a dream and he saw himself by this hardware store in this other little town. So he bought it, jumped out of his comfort zone, bought it. I mean, this guy was just incredibly blessed financially. And so here I was, I came back a year later. And as I came back a year later, this guy gave me this testimony and he said to me, he said, Tom, he said, you know what? he said, right now, my financial condition is right now. He said, from last year, I am making more money now. I'm making more than 10 times the amount of money I made last year at this time. Come on, somebody. He said, my tithe check is more than what my monthly salary was. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so he said, so much so that the Holy Spirit spoke to me to go buy the strip mall downtown. So I'm going to go buy the strip mall. But he said, I'm sending out more missionaries than ever before. I'm blessing the kingdom. I'm impacting nations just because I was challenged to come out of my comfort zone. So look at your neighbor, say, come out of your comfort zone. Come on, tell two people. All right. So go back to Matthew. Our brother found it for me. 16. Matthew 16. Verse 5. There we go. Okay. Let me find the part of, let's see, verse 5. Mark 8. I wonder if that was it. Is that the other one in Mark 8? That's it. Okay, go to Mark 8. Sorry, my bad. Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Last scripture. Mark 8. Now watch this. Man, if you don't get anything else tonight, you got to get this. Mark chapter 8 says this. Verse 13. And he left them, and getting into the boat, again, he departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They didn't have more than one loaf with them in the boat, and he charged them, saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? I mean, boy, these guys aren't too bright here, right? And then it says, but Jesus, being aware of it, said, why? Now watch this. Jesus is going to ask them six questions. These are the six questions Jesus asked them. Why do you reason? Because you have no bread. Number one. Why do you not perceive and understand? Number two. Number three. Is your heart still in a hardened state? Number four. Having eyes, do you not see? Number five. And having ears, do you not hear? Number six. And do you not remember when I first broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments you took up? And they said to him, 12. And he said, and I broke the seven for the 4,000. How many large basketfuls of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he says, how is it that you do not understand? Now watch this. It goes right into this. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And he touched the man, blind man, by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he spit in his eyes, he put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And he put his hands on his eyes again, and he looked up and he said, I saw everyone clearly. So here, this whole section of story, Jesus asks these six questions. He's saying, this is what he's saying. This is what he's saying to Rochester. Do you not remember the last miracle? Don't you remember the last miracle? Don't you remember what happened? Because here they are in another predicament, and Jesus is saying this. He's saying this. He's saying, don't you remember the last time, come on, you stepped out of the comfort zone? Don't you remember what happened? And you say, yeah, but I'm really in this bad situation, and pastor put me on the prayer chain list, and you know, and get prophetess doodad to pray for me and send some holy oil from the River Jordan, and... And the Lord says to you, come on now, don't you remember the last time God did a miracle for you? When you got healed, when God touched you, when God blessed you, when God came through? He's saying, listen, these miracles aren't little toys and trinkets. These are windows into the kingdom. Come on, somebody, that you can see how God operates. And God says, all you need to do to draw and step out of your comfort zone is remember the last time. That's why he says several times here in all the questions of Jesus, he says to them several times, don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember when I multiplied the food? Not only once, I multiplied it twice. Don't you remember? And immediately right from there, what does he do? He heals a blind man. He's trying to say to them, look now through these miracles. Don't you remember on what night was it I sent you guys to the Walmart? Tuesday night. Don't you remember Tuesday night when you prayed for that person and they got healed? Don't you remember Wednesday morning when you prayed for that person out there on 6th Street and they got healed? Don't you remember last year when you went and you had this condition and the Lord healed you? Come on, somebody. And the Lord is saying to us again and again and again, he's saying, come on, church, remember, draw from these things. Draw from the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone. Draw from those. Don't you remember the last time? Again and again. That's just what I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying tonight. Will you put that soak in the presence on? That's what the Holy Spirit's saying tonight to every single person. He's just saying this. He's just saying, listen, don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember the video that I showed of the woman that had muscular dystrophy? Don't you remember her walking out of the wheelchair and 400... Yeah, thanks, guys. Don't you remember 400 tests, blood tests? Come on, amen? Because as soon as your mind goes back to that carnal thinking, your mind goes back and says, yeah, but this is really serious. Come on. Amen? Let me just shock you. Are you ready? Every church I go to, I have to remind myself of the last one. Every time. When I was there in Wisconsin, and here comes this woman in this power wheelchair. Here she is dying, muscular dystrophy. I had to remind myself, Lord, I remember when I was there in Minnesota and that deaf woman came into the church, and over at my book table, I put my fingers in her ears and her ears opened up. I remember in Puerto Rico, in Mayagüez, I remember the lady that came in the wheelchair, crippled up. Hadn't walked in more than 10 years. I remember. So you stir yourself up by remembering. One last scripture. I think it's 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent, Peter says, to remind you. Everyone say remind. He says, I won't be negligent to remind you of these things, though you know and are established in this present truth. See, so much today in the American church, we want something new. I want to see something new. Show me a new revelation. Come on, Pastor Rick. Come on, wow us with a new revelation. Peter says, though you already know these things, it's important for me to remind you of these things. Yes, it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by reminding you. So how do you get stirred up? By remembering. If I stood you up one at a time and I said, would you come and give your testimony? Would you come and give your testimony? Would you come and give your testimony? How did you meet the Lord? You come. And as soon as you come, oh, you remember. And the same flood of emotions come. Why? You stirred yourself up by remembering. Come on. So how do you come? You know, like Brad confirmed the word that the Lord gave me about the comfort zone. So how do we come out of the comfort zone? We do so by reminding ourselves. We remind ourselves of the last time God met us. Come on, right? Or the last time that we saw a miracle. Or the last time God came through when there was no way. Come on. How many of you ever had God come through when there was absolutely no way? Come on, raise your hand. Anybody? Ever? Yeah. And so that's what the Lord wants. He just says, listen, go back. Remember, 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 remember. What happened with David? David went and killed a lion. And before he went on to kill Goliath, the Bible says he went back to the lion. Because in the lion's belly, a beehive had grown. Remember? The Bible says, and it was sweet to eat when he went back to the lion that he had killed. You know what that says to me? We have to go back to our own victories. We have to go back to our old victories. Victories that we won in the past. Miracles that God did in the past. Ah, why? Because you draw nourishment. You draw honey from your old things that God did. You draw spiritual honey from the old things that God did. Ah, I remember in 74. Ah, I remember in 82. Ah, I remember in 86. Ah, I remember when God came through in 94. Come on, somebody, right? And you remind yourself again and again. And in so doing, it becomes easier and easier to come out of your comfort zone all the time. all the time. Come out of your comfort zone. Come out of your comfort zone. So, Father, tonight we thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Lord, if there are people here tonight that are not born again, Lord, I pray they'll give their lives to you tonight. If you're here tonight, maybe you're a guest, a visitor, whatever, and maybe you've never been born again. Maybe you've never received God's free gift of eternal life. If that's you, I won't embarrass you, but just quickly raise your hand. Anyone tonight, you've never received God's free gift of eternal life to your recollection. If you haven't, if you don't remember it, it didn't happen. All right. So if that's you tonight, just quickly raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Just stand up, brother. Just stand up. Yeah. Anyone else tonight? God's tugging your heart. Maybe you're backslidden or away from the Lord. And you just say, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord tonight. You want to receive that free gift of eternal life. Quickly, if that's you, God's tugging you. Just stand up right where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So do this. The people that are around them, just put your hand on their shoulder. Just pray this out loud. All you guys, just pray this. Pray this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of the past. Tonight, I receive the free gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Born again on my way to heaven because Jesus is in my heart. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap, will you? Praise God. Remind yourself. Now, we're going to pray for the sick here in just a second. Man, I just thought the Lord was going to do something else tonight, but I just really felt like this was really a word for the Lord, from the Lord. For how many of you felt this is a word for you? Anybody tonight? Okay, a few of you do. All right, praise the Lord. I just pray that you just remind yourself, stir up that. Peter says, oh, you know these things? Remind yourself. Get stirred up in those things. Now, we're going to pray for some sick people. I want to pray for you. I see with your arm and stuff. Come on up here to the white line. Anyone else, you need physical healing in your body, come quickly. Just quickly come. You need physical healing. God wants to heal you tonight. No matter how long you've struggled, no matter how serious or how minor, it doesn't matter. Some people say, well, it's not a big deal. I can deal with it. Well, you don't have to deal with it because Jesus paid for it. So why deal with it when Jesus paid for it? So come on down here. Anyone else? Physical healing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you can, without going through all kinds of crazy motions and stuff, just put your hand on yourself wherever the pain is. So right now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every single person that's here. Right now, I just thank you, Lord, that you want to do miracles, signs, and wonders in these people. Lord, I thank you right now for healing every single one of them tonight. May tumors dissolve. May hernias go. May back pain leave. May knees be healed. Brand new cartilage. Every single person that's here tonight. Lord, we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. May every physical pain in their body go tonight. The moment we touch them, Lord, we expect that moment right then because of what you've done in the past. We expect, Lord, that all the pain will go tonight in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, this is what I want you to do, to come out of your comfort zone tonight, because that's the word God gave me. So get up to your feet right now, everybody. Find two people you don't know at all or you don't know very well. All right? It can be opposite sex, same sex. I don't care. Find small groups of three. Quickly, go. Just find small groups of three, somebody you don't know very well or you don't know them at all. And then just grab hands with them and just start to pray for them. But keep your eyes open and pray a blessing on them. Pray for boldness on them, whatever. Come on, just come out of your comfort zone. Even if you don't like doing this, do it. Get out of your comfort zone. Come on, just prophesy, pray, cast out demons, whatever they need. Come on, just go for it. Come on, just take 3-4 minutes and just ask each other what you need. Somebody's getting healed up here. So come on, just go for it. Just go for it. Just minister to somebody tonight. Ask them what's wrong and then pray for them. Pray a blessing. Come on, be bold. Ask them. Open your mouth. Ask them what they need. And then just by faith, just pray right now boldly. Come out of your comfort zone. Two more minutes. Come on. Just ask them. Don't just pray, but just ask them, what do you need? What do you need? Do you need a financial miracle? Do you need a marital thing? Do you just want the blessing of the Lord? Or you need physical healing? What do you need? And then you boldly do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just be bold. Just be bold. Let all fear go. I can just feel fear is leaving the building right now. Your fears are leaving the building right now. All that fear is going from you.
I'm going to give it back to you in 1 minute.
Yeah. Come on, one more minute. One more minute. Ask them what else they need. Come on, just look them square in the eye. Ask them what they need and then just say, now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to release that on you now. Be very transparent. Thank you, Jesus. Now don't quit yet. Don't quit. Now I want you to pray right now for that person, all the people in your group to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Come on, just pray the joy of the Lord on them right now. I just pray, Lord, fill them up. Come on, just put your hands on their belly. Just, Lord, I pray, fill them up. Let them be drunk in the Spirit tonight. Let the joy of the Lord bubble out of their belly. Shididiyata kalava. Anointed, Lord. Be anointed. Anointed. Drunk in the Spirit. Come on. Just pray that they get drunk. Lord, let them be filled with joy. Joy. Just laugh a little bit. Ha, 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 ha. Come on. Just 1 minute. Just pray that joy, joy, joy. Come on. Put your hand on them. Put your hand on them. Just pray joy. Lord, fill them with joy. The Bible says you'll go out with joy. You're going to go out with joy. Not with depression. Joy. Fill them with joy. Ha, ha, ha. Joy, joy, joy. Now find someone else right near you. Just put hands on them right now. Pray that they get filled with joy. Come on, put your hand on someone else right next to you. Just switch groups right now. Come on, just for 1 minute. Just find someone else. Quick, 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 quick. Find one other person. Just pray them. Be filled with joy. Be filled with joy. Be filled with joy. Lord, fill them with joy, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Let them be drunk in the new wine.